Lord, we just thank you and we bless you and we love you, Lord, because you're challenging us to grow. Now you have your word, Lord, that you provided for us. Speak to us through your word, Lord. May it be a lamp and a light as we try our best to navigate, Lord, through a dark, broken, fallen, decaying world. We understand things happen because we live in a broken world, a fallen world, Lord. But thank you for your word as it illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through, Lord, and glorify you in all that we do and say. So may your people be edified. May you be glorified, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to receive what you're speaking to us today, Sunday, April 15th, 2018. Lord, speak to our hearts. Make it plain. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, family, I just want to do a quick review, if I can, on Philippians 4. Say Philippians 4, 8. But really, I want to start at 6. And this is a scripture. I'm going back here, then I'm going to fast forward, and we're getting to today's lesson. But make a note of this scripture, Philippians 4, 6. This is one that you need in your tool belt, your arsenal, so to speak, as you're doing spiritual warfare. Be careful for nothing. Don't let anything or nobody stress you out. You need to meditate on a scripture like this. Somebody say amen. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all intellect, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we talk about guarding, the importance of letting the peace of God through Christ Jesus to guard our heart and our mind. We talked about the heart. We talked about the mind. Keep your heart, keep your mind guarded. The enemy is going after your heart. The enemy is going after your mind. So these are one of the scriptures. This is one of the scriptures that you have to meditate on. I'm going to give you a few more. And then verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things. Now it talks about our thoughts, what we should be thinking about. Family, we're doing things we shouldn't even be thinking about doing. Not only should we be doing them, according to Philippians 4:8, we shouldn't even be thinking about doing them. We should be thinking about things that are true, that things that are honest, things that are just, and things that are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Think, meditate on these things. Highlight that scripture, because when you find your mind wandering, when you leave here today, while you're here, during the course of the week, why am I thinking about that? Lord, let me think on things that are virtuous. Think on things, meditate on things that give you praise. So always when I catch my mind wandering, I go to this scripture. Is that pure? Is that lovely? The way we talk to our spouses, the way we talk to our friends, the way we talk to our parents, the way we talk to our kids, kids, the way you talk to your parents. Is that lovely? Can you give a good report on that? Is it pure? Then you shouldn't, not only should you not do it, you shouldn't even be thinking about it. So this always, God gives us a way to control our thoughts, to guard our minds, to guard our hearts. And then verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and then the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God in verse 7 is an attitude. The God of peace is obedience. Because he said, when you do these things, then the God of peace is with you. So it talks about obedience. Obedience to God. Obedience leads to the connection. Remember, God is not looking for perfection. God is looking for a connection. So I have Sister Kathy, I have a bunch of read this. It says, verse 9. It says, remember these things before you panic or fall apart. Give your heart and mind to God 100%. Does God have my mind and my heart? If God does, then let the Holy Spirit guard them through the word of God. Verse 9 speaks of obedience. Do, practice, be doers. The God of peace. So if you're not doing them, then the God of peace is not with you. So make a note. There is no peace in sin. It might be a pleasure for a season, but that's just a season. It ain't no peace. It might be some pleasure, but God is not in the sin. Not the God of peace. There's no pleasure in sin. No peace in sin. If you want to stay connected with the God of peace, then you and I must be obedient to the word and the will of God. A few other scriptures I want to give you. And I don't know if you can write them down quickly, but these are the ones that are in addition to Philippians 4:8-9 that keep in your tool belt. Scripture like Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when we're out making decisions, am I seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first? Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Philippians 4:13, and for the youth, for our youth, these are ones, I'll have them for you next week as well, and I want you to put them in your journals of my youth. I want you to memorize these and to study these. Then a scripture like Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. Did I say Philippians 4:13 yet? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Don't walk around condemning yourself. When the enemy's trying to tell you how worthless you are and how bad and idiotic you are, you quote Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Stop condemning yourself. Then, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Joshua 1:9, be courageous and of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Don't fall apart, for the Lord God is with you everywhere that you go. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we do blow it, not if we blow it, but when we do, get back connected. Don't let a minute go by that you staying disconnected from God. So along with Philippians 4:8-9, those are the scriptures that I'm encouraging you to commit to memory. So when your mind the enemy tries to take you somewhere you don't need to go, stand on the word of God. Amen? Amen. We can't stand on opinions. We can't stand. Please don't stand on how you feel or your emotions. Stand on the word. Amen. Amen. All right. So here we go. Let's jump into let's go to Job 42. Job 42. Let's get to the end of this now. I told you how we do it. We're not going to go through all that other stuff. We're not going to go. We started in 38. Then we went to 1. Now we're going to the end. Job 42. I told you how I do it. I was watching some of the games yesterday, and I told you, you know, my team is Golden State now. You know, now I don't know who would be next year, but it's Golden State. We'll see what happens with Cleveland today, Rem. We'll see what happens. Y'all going to have your hands full, though. But what I did, you know, I just have the game on tape delay, and I'm watching it, but I go and peek ahead to see if my team won. Oh, we blew them out. I was so relaxed watching the game. I don't care. They were making threes. I'm like, it don't matter. Y'all going to get blew out. Because I know how the game ends. Chris, I know how it ends. So we go to the back of the book of Job. So we see how it ends. All that stuff he had to deal with at the beginning, if he could have gotten to the end, he would have relaxed. He would have trusted God, Brother John. So I'm telling you, y'all need to relax and trust God. We know how this ends. Why do we keep stressing out? The enemy, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom. He's pretending. Stay connected to God. Get up. Memorize those scriptures. Confess and forsake that sin. Like Jesus said, go and sin no more. Don't let anything keep you separated from God. So now we get to chapter 42, chapter 42 and verse 1. And we have Job answering the Lord, and Job said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose can be stopped that you have planned. That's the translation. Verse 2. We can go home now. God, I know you can do everything. I know you can do everything. What more is there to discuss? What more is there to discuss? Verse 2, Job says, I know you can do, I know you have the ability and the strength to do everything. And no purpose of yours can be stopped. All right, Sister Kathy, here's to read this. God has allowed things. I love this, how he gave this to me. God has allowed things to happen in our life to push us into the purpose and the plan he has for us. As you and I reflect back on our life, we can see a strategic tapestry that God has quilted together, which is the person we are today. And in the place we are today, the strategic tapestry of life's events that's created who we are. That's what Job is saying. Job says, I can finally see that. I was questioning God. I was questioning if God could do everything. Job was saying, God, I had a relationship with you. And you know how that is. God, I have a relationship with you, but I don't know how powerful you are. I don't know if you can do everything. So it took Job all the way, all 39 chapters, 41 chapters, and he gets to the point and says, oh, God, I finally realize how powerful you are. I see that you can do anything. Hopefully it won't take us that long to get there. Verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Well, I had to paraphrase and break that down too, right? Who is the person that is concealing the purpose of God because they don't have discernment? That's what Job is saying. He said, I was hiding the purpose of God because I couldn't discern it. Who is the person that can't see the plan and the purpose God has for their life because they don't operate according to the knowledge of God? Job says, I could not see God's purpose for my life because I didn't have discernment. Family, when you're praying for someone who's just kind of out there, pray that God would give them discernment. Pray that God would snatch the scales off of their eyes. They can't see because they don't have discernment. Job couldn't see. It finally took him 42 chapters to get discernment, the insight of God, so he could see what God was doing in his life. Job finally had a revelation from God. God lifts the scales of pride off of Job's eyes. And now Job can respect the awesomeness of God. Pray God will lift the scales of pride and selfishness off the eyes of that family member or that the child or the spouse or the coworker or the boss. Pray that God will lift the scales of pride and selfishness off of their eyes. Job was spiritually mature and he still didn't see it. And make a note, family, the carnal mind is not trained. The carnal mind is trained not to see God. Let me say that again. With all this stuff going on, that's why we pray for discernment, because the carnal mind is trained not to see God. Job didn't see God as all powerful and all knowing. Because the carnal mind is not trained to see God. Pray for discernment. Verse 3, Job said, as a result, I have declared that I have no discernment. Job said, I declare I have no discernment, that there are things way beyond my power which I didn't even know. As we discovered on the men's retreat, as Mickey said so eloquently, when we were sitting at the table one morning, there are things that I didn't know. I didn't even know. That's what Job is saying. It's things I didn't know that I didn't even know. Then verse 4, he says, here I'm begging you, God, I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me. Verse 5, I've heard of you by the hearing ear, but now my I seeth you. Ain't that something? Said, I've heard of you before, but now I see you. And remember, Job spent time with God. We could go back to chapter one if we had time. You can spend time with God and not know God. You can hear about God, but not be able to discern who God is. That's what Job, it took him all this time to say, man, I've heard of you, God, but now I can discern you. Now I see you. And then look what he says in verse 6. Wherefore, I detest myself and I repent in dust and ashes. It said, one of the commentaries said, through all these chapters, Job was questioning God and he never repented. Not that it was about Job not repenting, but he never did until then. But it wasn't so much about the repentance. He just didn't understand how powerful God was. And, you know, we don't either, because we'll go out of here and we'll get a phone call and we'll fall apart. We'll get a text message and we'll fall apart. We'll get that bill in the mail and start falling apart tomorrow. Because we don't understand. God, I've heard of you. Look at what he says. I've heard of you by the natural ear, but now I can discern and really see God for myself. I heard about you, and now I know you for myself. I heard what you have done for others, but now I know you for myself. I heard Grandmama talking about you and how good you are, but now I know you for myself. You can hear Grandma talking all the time, but until you know God for yourself, it's not real. He said, as a result, I deny myself, verse 6. I deny myself and repent in dust and ashes. I humble myself and surrender to you. I recognize I'm a sinner and I need a savior. I repent and ask of your forgiveness. Make a note, family. Before God can really use us, we have to get to the point where we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ daily. So you know where that leads me to, right? Take a look at Luke. Let's go to Luke 9 and 18. Because Christ tells us the same thing. Christ tells us the same thing in Luke 9 and 18. At first, I was just going to verse 23 where he said, and he said to them, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Job found out. I got to deny myself. But as you put it in context, I had to start at verse 18. Luke 9 and 18. It came to pass as he was alone praying and his disciples were with him. Oh, we can't pass that up. When was the last time you prayed with Jesus Christ? Do you have your quiet time? He was alone. When do you have your alone time with Jesus Christ? I'm not going to get away from that. I'm going to challenge us to fast and pray each morning before we leave the house. I love this. Look at verse 18 again. And it came to pass as he was alone, get alone with Jesus Christ praying. His disciples were with him. We call ourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. How can we be disciples if we're not alone praying with Christ? So we're alone and we're praying with Christ. And then he asked a question. See, you're trying to hear from God, but you're not following the blueprint. The blueprint is get alone with Christ and pray, and then you hear from God. Amen. That's why the enemy never wants you to get alone with God. Never wants you to get up just five minutes early. Brother Anthony said, Pastor, you know it. Pastor, you're pretty slick, though. I know I'm slick. I don't know about, but he said, you can't spend 5 minutes with God. I looked at my clock. It's 20 minutes in. I'm like, Pastor, something else. That's right. I'm just saying, start with five. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. But you get alone with God for 5 minutes. I'm telling you, God's going to speak. He's going to say, stay with me five more minutes. Amen. But then here they are alone with Jesus. And then Jesus asked the question, who say the people that I am? That's a question you can ask on your job tomorrow. Get some interesting results. They answered and said, John the Baptist, but some say you're Elijah. Others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. So we know based on, make a note, Deuteronomy 18:15, that the God had promised that a prophet would rise among his people. So it's scripturally, it's scriptural that God's going to send a prophet. And we know that Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. Amen. All in one. So makes Jesus so special. And he said unto them, which he's asking us, but whom say you that I am? Family, that's between you and God. But in order to get to 23, where he says, if any man was going to follow me, let him disown himself and elevate his cross, elevate his relationship with God and follow me. You're not going to do that if you don't know who Jesus is. In verse 20, he said, the Christ of God. If you don't know he's the Messiah sent from God, you're not going to deny yourself. You're not going to disown yourself. You're not going to follow God. Family, we have to be convinced that he is who he says that he is. Amen. Took Job 42 chapters to find it out. And to really, it really hit him. The awesomeness of God. Verse 21, he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man. Don't tell anybody that thing. And then he said to them, the Son of Man, look at the prophecy. So either Jesus in verse 22, either he's guessing or he's God. Make a note. He says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and the scribes and get killed. And on the third day, I'm rising up. Either he's guessing or he's God. That's what the determination we have to make. Either he was just some guy that lived a long time ago, or either he's God. And then if he is, verse 22, and he said, okay, if any man will come after me, let him disown. That's what that word deny means. Disown himself. Elevate your identity in Christ. Pick up your self-denial, which is the cross. And that's every day. And then join with Christ. That's what Job is. Job found out. I got to sell out for God. God, I know you can do everything. Then he says, well, whosoever shall keep or protect his life, verse 24, shall destroy it. Ain't that something? I think some of us have learned that the hard way. I'm trying to do my own thing. All I was doing was destroying myself. Accelerating my chances to die. I said, if anyone tries to protect and guard his own life, all you're doing is accelerating your chances to die and spend eternity separated from Christ. But whosoever will destroy his life for my sake, the same shall find it, or the same shall be rescued from it. Verse 25, what is a man's benefit if he gained the complete orderly system of destruction and destroy himself or be lost? What is the benefit to put the temporary over the permanent and destroy yourself and be lost? And he says, verse 26, for whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his brilliance, his doxa, the glory, and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Make a note. The end of verse 26, it says that Jesus is going to come in his Father's glory. And we know the word says God will share his glory with no one. So why is he sharing it with Jesus? Because it's part of the Trinity, because Jesus is God. Make a note. He's always telling, if they're listening, he's telling them, I'm God. I'm connected to God. He thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God. For whosoever should be ashamed of me, and I wrote this down too. Number one, that's why we shouldn't be ashamed, because he's going to come into glory. But we should be ashamed of some of the things we've been chasing. And that's something we'll be ashamed to talk about Christ. But we sure wasn't ashamed to show that picture, or to say, let's go here, or let's do that, or pass this, or let me drink that. Then all of a sudden it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're ashamed to talk about it. You didn't have no shame when you was in the world. Yeah. And now all of a sudden we want the enemy to think we can't open our mouth because of what we've done. Well, even if you did all the right things, you still wouldn't be righteous. What does it benefit you and I if we acquire the whole complete world, the orderly system of deception, and lose our own soul? The soul is a part of us that does not dissolve upon death. The world paints a picture, and it's like biting into a rotten candy apple. It looks so good from the outside, but as soon as you take a bite, or biting into an apple, or a candy apple that has a worm in it. Or even worse, you bite into that candy apple and it has a half a worm in it because you got the other half in your mouth. Okay, that's even worse. Yeah. Yuck mouth. But that's the picture that the world paints. So let me finish, wrap it up just a little bit with this. That's why we shouldn't be ashamed of God. We should be ashamed of chasing rotten candy apples our entire life. We should be ashamed of some of the things we watch and listen to and participate in on social media. That's the stuff we need to be ashamed of. The world shows no shame. Why should we be ashamed of telling the whole world that we have a relationship and we are connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Jesus is the one who is going to come in his glory, his own glory, and the Father's glory, and of the holy angels. That's something to tell others about. And I said, don't miss the fact that Jesus is stating that he is God. We know that God doesn't share his glory with anyone except himself. Speaks of the Trinity. I have a couple more. Read this and then I'm going to wrap it up. Back at Luke 9:18, it talked about the prayer. Get alone with Jesus and pray and stop complaining. It's written here, Sister Tara. I got to read it. Get alone with Jesus and pray and stop complaining. Do you believe God can do any and everything? Then stop complaining and pray with Jesus. Jesus will speak to you when you get alone and pray with him. So if I'm praying about a situation, I believe God can do everything, and according to his will I'm praying, then I can't complain about that. I have to wait on God. How much time do you give God? Does God have a time limit in when he needs to move in our life? You set your own time for God. If he don't move, then I'm going to do my thing. All right, so let's go back to Job 42, and this is where we'll stop today. See, I love this. I love the Word of God. I'm going to watch some games today, and I'm going to tape them. I'm going to skip to the end. Not that I matter, because my team played yesterday. I don't care what happens today. I could care less, but I ain't going to sit there and watch it. A game, I'm going to look at the end so I know how this thing ends so I can be relaxed when I watch it. Come on, y'all. So I'm looking at life now. I'm so relaxed as I go through life because we know how this ends. So I'll come back next week and break down verses 7 through 8. It's just Job and his friends, and he's covering them. But I want to end today, and we'll pick it up next week at verse 7. But look at verse 10. And the Lord turned. Somebody make a note. Pray for the turnaround. Pray for the turnaround. Amen. Here at South Bay Abundant Life, we don't believe in tradition. We believe in the turnaround. We don't get caught up in all traditions, and I believe in the turnaround. And the Lord turned the captivity, or it says, Lord, the Lord restored the losses of Job. Get to the end. We get to the end and say, oh, why am I tripping on all this stuff if God's going to bring it back? Amen. If God's going to turn things around, why am I? Oh, I can relax as I go through life. Because God's going to restore the losses. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So why are we stressing out? And we know how this thing ends. So I just want to pray with anyone this morning. I want you to come up to the altar and I just want to pray for a turnaround, whether it's health, whether it's family, whether it's friends. We're just going to it's going to be a quick work. We're not going to be hanging out all day. And the Lord restored the loss of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Thank you, Lord, for the turnaround. You've always been there. Yes, Lord. You've always been there. Thank you, Lord, for always being there. Thank you for the turnaround. Restore health. Restore finances. Restore strength. Restore trust. So, Lord, we're just praying for the turnaround, Lord.
Yes.
It's just olive oil, Lord.
Yes.
But it represents the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Represents the power of God, Lord.
Yes.
It's nothing mystical. It's nothing magical. We trust God.
Yes.
We trust the Word of God.
Yes.
It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much.
Yes.
Says the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous.
Yes.
Says before we call, he will answer, and while we're yet praying, he will hear.
Yes.
God, heal your people in their body, in their minds, in their heart, in their spirit.
Yes.
As only you can, Lord.
Yes.
We're praying for health, those that are infirmed in their bodies, Lord.
Yes.
We're praying for the turnaround, Lord.
Yes.
We're praying that you will restore the losses. We're praying for marriages. We're praying for father-son relationship, mother-daughter relationship, husband-wife relationship, Lord. We're praying for the turnaround in the name of Jesus, Lord, as only you can. We're praying that for the turnaround that we get connected to you and never let you go. More importantly, that we get connected with you, we get right with you, and we never let you go, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We know you're always, forever the same.
Yes. Right.
So So, Lord, I just thank you and I bless you, Lord, for this life. Thank you, Lord. I just bless you.
Yes.
For health and for strength.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
For the turnaround, Lord.
Yes.
Ain't trying to do nothing traditional. We trying to turn around with you.
Yes.
For restoration of health.
Yes.
Restoration of strength, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, Lord. As only you can, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
The great God that formed all, that created us all. In the beginning was God, Lord. You were always there. Thank you for finding us, Lord. Praying for the turnaround, Lord. Praying for the turnaround, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Heal your body. You live in this body through the power of your Holy Spirit. Heal your body, Lord. Heal your mind. Heal your heart, Lord. This heart is connected to you, Lord. And you heal it, Lord. This is your body. This is your child, Lord. This is your creation. You heal it, Lord. You heal it, Lord. Heal your body, Lord. Heal your heart. Yes, and breaks free. Thank you, Lord. Your compassion, Lord, on your body. Thank you, Lord. This is yours. It's always been yours. Restore the years that the canker worms have eaten out, Lord. What the enemy meant for bad, you meant for good. Are we not in the place of God? Overwhelm us, Lord. Overwhelm us, Lord. Overwhelm us, Lord. Overwhelm us, Lord. So amazing. Body, Lord. Heal your body, Lord. Heal your body, Lord. God, as you look down on us and you see hearts connected to your heart, you see hearts connected to your heart. You see your heart connected to your heart. You see people after God's own heart. You're not looking for perfection. You're looking for connection. And Lord, we confess and forsake anything that's not like you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we are in the place of God. God, you brought us from a mighty long way and you challenge us to go further.
Yes.
God, we need you. We need your health. We need your strength for the work that you have prepared for us for such a time as this. Heal your body, Lord. Strengthen it for the work ahead. Heal the heart. Heal the emotions, Lord. Heal the broken spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord. You're faithful, Lord. We've been young and now we're old. We've never seen the righteous forsaken or your seed begging bread. Thank you, Lord. Heal your body, Lord, for the work, for the strength that's ahead. This is your body, Lord. You heal it. You created it. You know it from the inside out. It's fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heal your servant, Lord. The broken heart, the broken spirit. Strengthening for the work that's ahead, Lord. Don't let him get weary in well-doing, for he should reap if he faints not, Lord. Give me the courage to be the husband, the father, the son, the man of God that you've called him to be, Lord, for such a time as this, strengthening for the work ahead, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's praying for healing, Lord, in your body, the one you created, the one that's fearfully and wonderfully made. You knew this body before it was formed in its mother's womb. It's praying for your healing, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen it for the work ahead, Lord. Bless the work ahead. Strengthen, courage, health, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And always the same. Thank you, Lord, for this vessel that you created for your glory. Thank you, Lord. Praying for healing and strength, Lord, for such a time as this, for the work ahead, for the new work that you're just starting in this vessel, Lord. Now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Faithful God, you're here to stay.
Thank you, Lord, for health and strength. Thank you for legacy and longevity, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Continue to strengthen this vessel, Lord, that you created for your glory.
Yes.
Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you.
Yes, Lord.
For all that you've put in this, for the legacy that's come out of this vessel.
Yes, Lord.
The one you created, Lord.
Yes.
The one that you formed in the womb.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Before they were in the womb.
Yes, Lord.
Pray for health and strength and direction. Courage.
Yes. Yes.
Covering, protection. For such a time as this. Thank you, Lord, for health and strength.
Yes.
For peace. For guidance. For wisdom. For the work ahead. Not for the work that's in the past, but for the work that's ahead. All that you have for this vessel that you created. Pray for health and strength, Lord. Protection, guidance. We love you, Lord, for the work ahead. For the future in God. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth to those things which are before. Pressing towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling in Christ Jesus. Strengthen your vessel for the work ahead. For such a time as this, God, as only you can. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing that just one more time.
Faithful God, you're here to stay. Yahweh, faithful God, you're here to stay. Yahweh, Yahweh, forever, forever.
Now, Lord, we ask that you would seal it as you've sealed us with your Holy Spirit and you put the mark on us with your Holy Spirit. Seal this turnaround, Lord. Seal the turnaround. Restore the losses. Strengthen us for the work ahead, Lord. We ask all these things in the matchless, the powerful. We recognize the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a hug. And you are dismissed.
Love you, Pastor. Don't wait till the food starts again.
That was perfect.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you.
The turnaround.
Oh, we had it all along. It didn't go.
God was talking to it, but we weren't listening. The turnaround.
Amen.